This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. The unsolicited pitch from a salesperson is a familiar feature of American life. For many, it goes back to the door-to-door salesman, and none is better remembered than the Fuller Brushman, who is, in fact, still around. Anthony Catina works the sidewalks of northeastern Pennsylvania. Let's listen in as he ropes in a sale.
You run from a town. You're getting beat up today. You run from that town and you go to another town. You know what's going to happen if you take a beating in that town? You're going to run from that town, and you're always on the run. Oh, this town's no good. I'll try to... You stay with it. And I've seen that happen with me, Jack, more than once. Keep my face to the town. Boom. Next time, boom, 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 boom. Hold on now. Wait, what are you doing?
Yes.
Fuller Brush Man. Can you, close
yeah.
the door behind you? Because he looks very threatened.
She is the biggest baby.
Is she? Okay, we got you down here for a holder, a block,
mm-hmm.
and a limp brush.
Cool.
All right, now let's see what the total is.
And it'll be by the end of the month, though, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Cool.
I'll give you a call, though.
Okay.
It's a $16.94.
Cool. No problem.
These days, of course, it's usually not a knock on the door. Unsolicited sales pitches arrive through the door slot as junk mail, on your computer as spam, or as a phone call uncannily timed to the moment that you sit down at dinner. The government is trying to regulate or stop unsolicited marketing on the phone and via the computer. Should the government decide who can and can't contact you? Spammers and telemarketers claim the protections of the First Amendment. Are these annoyances we should learn to live with? Our phone number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. We'll begin with telemarketing, where there's been news over the past couple of days, and indeed the last couple of hours. As many of you know, the Federal Trade Commission set up the national Do Not Call list. More than 50 million Americans signed up. Sales company that call those on the list face an $11,000 fine when it takes effect. It's supposed to take effect next week. Yesterday, a federal judge in Oklahoma ruled that the FTC overstepped its authority. Today, the FTC said the list goes into effect next week as scheduled, and Congress has also stepped in. Joining us here in Studio 3A to talk about the Do Not Call list is NPR's Larry Abramson. Good of you to be with us.
Hi, Neil.
New developments in this story today. What happened?
That's right. Members of Congress woke up this morning with one thing in their minds. They wanted to overturn this court decision, as only they can do. And basically, they passed legislation in record time. There was a lot of backpatting in the House as members there voted to quickly pass a law that would give the Federal Trade Commission the authority that this judge, Lee West, out in Oklahoma, said Congress had not, in fact, given to the FTC. Congress views this as a slam-dunk way to fix this problem. There seemed to be almost unanimity in the House, and then later on today, probably in the Senate, that this problem needed to be fixed quickly.
Now, let's go back to Oklahoma for a second. The judge, as I understand it, ruled not that the law was unconstitutional or for any number of reasons, but rather that it was vested with the wrong agency, should have been the FCC and not the FTC.
That's right. It was a very technical decision. It didn't get into the lofty constitutional plane, which is arguably is part of this issue. He basically said that they just didn't have the power to do this. The Federal Communications Commission has very clear legislative authority to promulgate a list like this, but the FTC, he said, only has the authority to block abusive calls that intrude on people's privacy. Congress didn't say go out and create this list. So it's a very technical claim, but it is a claim that the telemarketing industry has made. They said they didn't have this authority, and they won.
Now, are there any other challenges ahead for this law?
There are a couple of other challenges. The telemarketing industry is also bringing a constitutional challenge in a federal court in Denver, and that gets more to these basic free speech issues that say that it is not fair for the federal government to set up a giant database of phone numbers that people cannot call, and also that it's not fair for them to say, well, it's okay for nonprofits and for politicians to make calls, because those people are exempted from the federal list. And so there are another number of other avenues that the telemarketers are pursuing. I think a lot of people thought those things were going nowhere, that they just assumed that this was such a common sense thing that it was going to go through and that a lot of calls would be blocked October 1st, and that's part of the reason why this decision yesterday was such a surprise, even though it looks like it's going to be overturned, pushed out of the way pretty quickly.
We're going to hear from an industry spokesman in just a moment, but is anybody else standing up for the telemarketers in this?
Well, I talked to a very prominent First Amendment attorney who's helping to litigate this case, and I'm used to seeing him on the steps of the Supreme Court arguing lofty cases about First Amendment free speech and the right to protest. And I said, isn't it kind of lonely out there? I mean, you're defending these people and just nobody seems to like. And he said, well, you know, I always feel that way. It's always people always push the First Amendment by making unpopular speech. And it's people who have had the courage to test these laws that have actually made sure that free speech is preserved. So there's a legitimate point to be made here that maybe people are in too much of a hurry to take free speech away from somebody else when it doesn't really affect them directly.
On the other hand, there's a political point to be made. 50 million Americans have signed up for this list. Those are numbers no one in Congress is going to ignore.
They're not going to ignore that, but I'm sure we all remember our civics lessons, Neil, that this is a nation of laws, not of men, and that even if every single American wanted to stop this list, if it violates the Constitution, it doesn't go through, and there has to be a little bit more sorting out going on here. I think most people suspect that at some point this list is going to go into effect, whether it's next week, next month, next year. It does look like there's an awful lot of support for it.
Well, NPR's Larry Abramson, thanks very much for being with us in
Studio
3A today. We appreciate it. Joining us now in Studio 3A is Tim Searcy, Executive Director of the American Teleservices Association, a trade group known trade group for the telemarketing industry, and it's good of you to be with us today.
Good afternoon, Neil.
The court's decision seemed to have been a victory for you. Do you see it that way?
We anticipated it would be temporary. Whenever you argue on jurisdictional grounds and simply say that the Congress had not given clear jurisdiction to the FTC, you open and invite them to just turn around and give them jurisdiction, which it appears is what's going to happen today. And as you said, it was a record speed in terms of their ability and willingness to turn this over.
As you say, 50 million people have signed up for the Do Not Call list. A lot of people don't want to be bothered with unsolicited calls, or at least the volume of unsolicited calls that they've gotten in the past. How do you deal with knowing that what this industry does is annoying to so many people?
Well, the problem that we found over time is that the benefits of our industry are more subtle, more personal. They're about employment. They're about lower prices, competition, being able to give consumers a means by which to have access to better goods and services. That's a little more subtle than ringing the phone at dinner. So we know that the problems are obvious, and it's been difficult for us to communicate to consumers that there is actually a dramatic benefit that they receive. We have to remember $654 billion in goods and services are sold every year. Each consumer, on average, makes three purchases in response to an outbound call. Let's face it, if it didn't work, we wouldn't be doing it. We employ 6.5 million people to make those calls.
On the other hand, there's a lot of other ways to reach people by marketing.
True, but they haven't been proven as effective. The reality is most marketers use all available means, and then they sort to the ones that are the least expensive or the most effective. So what we've found over time is that, sure, you can use direct mail or television or radio, but the embedded cost of advertising is more expensive when you use those channels than when you use the phone.
Now, what would this do, as you say, to the industry? What kind of damage do you anticipate?
Well, it's dramatic. We anticipate that we will lose 2 million jobs. These are people who are going to be hard to reemploy. As you know, we have a very fragile economy. 2 million jobs is almost unconscionable in terms of the amount.
Are all of those in this country?
All those are domestic. 26% of those folks are single mothers. 5% are physically disabled. 64% are ethnic minorities. It's not going to be easy for them to find a new place to go to work. And I think that's one of the important considerations that Congress didn't take into account, which is what is the economic impact.
As you know, there are people who challenge, economists will challenge almost anything. But in any case, let's get some listeners involved. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, and our email address is totn@npr.org. And Jeff joins us on the line from Quincy, Illinois.
I think the telemarketing industry consistently makes deceptive claims, both to the consumer and to the government in its defense. Firstly, many of the figures as to the economic benefit include non-cold calls with totally cold calls. Modern marketing has shown that high labor sales costs are not beneficial to the consumer. They're only beneficial to the sales people. And in general, unsolicited telephone marketing is either overpriced, unnecessary, or entirely fraudulent. One could make a similar claim on employment to the burglary and fencing industry. If we enforce laws against those, certain people will be thrown out of work, and it's a large dollar volume, but we still have laws against them. Advertising and print in on the airwaves benefits the consumer by providing free or lower-cost content. A call to an individual only annoys them.
Okay, get a reaction, Jeff? Tim, excuse me?
Well, Jeff, on so many levels, unfortunately, that those arguments are without basis. But I would make it more simple than that. How many single mothers do we need to unemploy for this to be an important issue? See, the Congress is faced with one of two choices. This is either not a big issue on an economic basis and therefore irrelevant and they shouldn't have acted, or it's a huge issue and they should have taken their time and done a more nuanced approach where they considered all of the important aspects around employment. Now, fraud and abuse have never been the reasons by which these laws have been promulgated. As a matter of fact, the FTC and FCC both said that their fraud and abuse laws that they put in place 12 years ago were effective mostly through the support and efforts of industry. So it's not about fraud and abuse. It's about the legitimate use of the channel. It's about a less effective cost of marketing. And let's face it, if it didn't work, if there were alternatives that were better, marketers would have chosen them.
I'd like to see a list of the industries and the companies that use this in order to decide whether I believe your claim that you're providing a low-cost needed service to the general public.
I would simply ask if that you're not currently an AT&T subscriber, anyone who is the alternative to the long distance, move the rate for long distance over a 10-year period from about a dollar a minute down to 7 cents a minute. And if you would ask the competitive marketers, they will let you know that as an entrenched incumbent, AT&T had a tremendous amount of financial backing that they could never compete with in the regular marketplace. Only through teleservices were they able to level the playing field.
Jeff, thanks very much. Appreciate it. And let's go now to Paul. And Paul's with us from Kansas City, Missouri.
Yeah, hello.
Hiya.
We hear about freedom of speech and all this. What about my freedom from speech? I'm paying for my phone. I pay for my computer and my internet connection in case of spam. I don't want to be bothered.
Well,
I don't want to have to pay for a portal to the outside world to let somebody come knocking at my, you know, knocking at my phone every time I want to. I would like to be able to have this list where, you know, fine, there's 50 million people sign up for it, and there's how many million people in this country, 270-something? That's quite a few left over for the telemarketers to have at it.
And, Tim, it's also been pointed out this law does not restrict marketing to business, cold calls to business.
Sure, but the businesses are a much smaller component. There's 6 million businesses in the United States, and to this gentleman's point, there's 120 million households. Just so that you're clear, certainly there's 270 million people, but these are household numbers that are being put on the do not call list, which means everyone in the household is now denied the access to the goods and services that are cost competitive.
Well, I would assume the parents would be the ones to sign the household up for the do not call list, and the kids would just have to go along with that. But like I'm saying, I mean, I like the freedom from speech is something that nobody seems to ever talk about.
Okay, Paul, let's give Tim a chance to respond.
Well, there's a number of voluntary means, Paul, by which you can be put on do not call lists, and those have been proven effective. The FTC and FCC have never argued that company-specific do not call lists fail. As a matter of fact, they've said it's an effective means by which to control the amount of calls that are coming into your house. You can certainly as well put yourself on the Voluntary Direct Marketing Association telephone preference service, which has been in existence for 17 years. There's a number of ways without using the awesome power of the government to control convenience in your life. Let's talk about what's the appropriate use of power and authority. If we want to go bomb Baghdad, that may make sense for the federal government. You making a decision what to do with your telephone, is that really where you want the government to be involved? I don't think so.
Tim Searcy, thanks very much for being with us today.